Welcome to Local Matters on Newstalk 94.1. I am your host, Hannah Davis from Cookeville Regional Medical Center. And today I have Dr. Landon Sears back with us. He is a pediatric dental specialist at Cavity Commando. And we are excited to talk more about children's dental health and going into kind of the toddler age. We talked last week about infancy and what a pediatric dentist is compared to others. But we're going to talk a little bit about this toddler age. So welcome back.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Hannah. It's been such a pleasure and grateful for this opportunity to promote such an important message because, you know, really it's not just the toddler stage, but it's the toddler stage setting up the child for their entire life.
Yes, yes, absolutely. So you start to worry a little bit more about, I'd say as a parent, I probably start to worry a little bit more in the toddler age, but I shouldn't. I should go all the way from when I was pregnant, but I didn't. So talk a little bit about what issues can arise in the toddler years.
Well, probably the biggest issue is cavities. I mean, we see it all the time and what that can lead to. Pain, infection, difficulty chewing, speaking, hurting a child's smile, causing bad breath, hurting their self-esteem. So just so many things that, you know, and that really stems not just from brushing and flossing, using mouthwash, but their diet. It can come from their parents. Let's say the parents both have a history of cavities in their families.
So it can be genetic.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's definitely not just habitual. There's a huge genetic component to this. A person's salivary flow, purely genetic. If they have viscous saliva, and saliva is the natural bathing mechanism for the teeth. So if your saliva isn't as strong, it's drier, or it's at a pH, an acidic level that's more prone to developing cavities, and you're already at a higher risk. I use what's called a caries risk assessment tool with every child. And we look at different things. How frequently are they snacking? What are their parents' oral health status? There's other things, too. Do we see plaque across the teeth at the age of two or three even? Are they a recent immigrant even? Things like that, you know, there's socio issues that lead to higher cavities rates. So it's not just, okay, let's see if they brush and floss. There's so much more to our specialty.
Oh, that's awesome. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about caries versus cavities. So this may be super known in the world, but let's, in case someone doesn't know, what's the difference?
Yeah, and I apologize too.
No, apologize.
Part of it, you know, I did my residency training in Miami, so most of my patients spoke Spanish.
Absolutely.
I became bilingual that way too. But caries is just a disease process. And basically, how I explain it to most parents is that when your child eats something sugary, bacteria that you're naturally born with attracts to the tooth and feeds off of that sugar. It's called a biofilm substance. And it adheres to the tooth. And then over time, through eating the food, the sugars and the refined carbs that you're giving your kids, that bacteria multiplies. As it multiplies and metabolizes those sugars, it releases acid that carries the bacteria. Through the acid release, it starts to break down the tooth in small little spurts. And over time, it causes a cavity because the tooth is weakened. And the calcium deposits are destroyed. So over time, that disease of caries causes cavities. And the teeth are just more prone to large gaping holes or fracturing or breaking. And does that help?
Oh, yeah. So caries kind of is the disease that begins and can turn into cavities.
Exactly.
Yeah, absolutely. So when kids, you know, toddlers, you're teaching them in their, you know, even into the infancy, but in the toddler age, like getting them to brush their teeth, getting them to understand what is the best way to introduce the toothbrush to kids, or even floss, because floss seems to be a little harder for them to grasp and understand. I mean, obviously parents are doing it, but they're like hesitant. So what is your advice to parents to get them to actually brush their teeth?
Yeah, great question, because we go to several Head Starts and preschools and schools throughout the community weekly. And I record a lot of videos that I put on our Facebook and social media. So the first is to make it fun. Yeah. Okay. Don't hold the kid down and hack away like you're trying to remove grease off a frying pan or something. You know, stop for a second. Okay. The first is, how long should I be doing this? And the age-old answer is 2 minutes. Okay, what is 2 minutes? Like, who's sitting there with a timer? Unless you have maybe a mechanical, an electric toothbrush. Okay, then maybe it has a timer. But I say to the parents, sing happy birthday to the child's teeth twice.
Oh, yeah, that's fun.
Kids love hearing the song happy birthday.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then to help them learn their ABCs, sing ABCs or twinkle, twinkle, little star, or row, row your boat twice for the bottom teeth. And kind of make it a habit. And kids love hearing their parents and grandparents sing to them. And then it just kind of becomes a habit. And then as far as the brushing, extra soft bristles.
Okay.
Softer is better, believe in that. You don't want hard bristles. That could be painful.
Yeah.
We talked about the lip tie earlier. That could be, imagine hard bristles going over a tethered lip tie. That would be very painful. No child would want a brush if you're hacking away across their lips. So extra soft bristles. And then here's a question I ask all the parents. I'm going to put you on the spot again. What's the best toothpaste for a child?
I don't know.
You're overthinking it. The best toothpaste?
Any toothpaste?
The one that they'll use.
Yeah. Any toothpaste.
The one that actually they'll use. If you go on Amazon now, there's a toothpaste flavor of every ice cream. I mean, there's banana chocolate chip toothpaste out there. I mean, there's, pineapple punch mouthwash. So if the kid likes pineapple punch, don't get them mint Listerine if they don't like mint. Get them a flavor that they like and they'll use. We use dessert flavored toothpaste and different products in our office. I have one that's like brownie fudge sundae toothpaste. I have vanilla toothpaste and all these different tutti frutti flavors, orange dreamsicle. Give those to your kids.
Yeah.
And then maybe they'll like it more.
Yeah. Maybe they'll brush their teeth.
Exactly.
Okay. You're listening to Local Matters on News Talk 94.1. We are here with Dr. Landon Sears, pediatric dental specialist at Cavity Commando. And we are discussing children's dental health. And we're going to talk a little bit about, when should they start using fluoride toothpaste?
The sooner the better, frankly. Okay. So I recommend fluoridated toothpaste starting with just a little smear, like just a barely graze the bristle tips with a toothpaste up until around age two. And then you want to give just a pea-sized amount starting at age three. And then you can kind of build it up around age six. But you don't need, the Rocky Top or anything over the hill toothpaste on the brush. You just need a little bit. So fluoride, the sooner the better. There's a scale where we look at, you know, different risks. And the assessment of the child, how much fluoride are they already getting from, you know, the natural water supply? Are they on well water? What is their risk? So we look at different factors, but the sooner the better. Parents, you know, there's different things out there about fluoride fear. Frankly, if a child was to ingest an entire tube of toothpaste, it could be severe. But a little, you know, smear of toothpaste is not going to harm them with fluoride. The other thing, too, For patients or parents that are opposed to the use of fluoride, I have a great fluoride alternative paste called MI Paste. It has a protein in it from a cow only in Australia and New Zealand. Meta-analysis and peer-reviewed studies have shown that it's very effective in helping to remineralize teeth. And again, it's a milk-based substance.
Yeah, wow. That's awesome.
And the kids love the taste.
Yeah, who knew? Okay, so kids, let's get into, we've kind of done toddler, kids phase, permanent teeth are in now. What do parents need to start thinking about as their kids are older, getting in elementary school and beyond?
One of the big things we do are dental sealants. Dental sealants, a thin layer of white filling material that goes over the grooves of the permanent molars. One of the most recent peer-reviewed studies that I read said that 76% of children get at least one cavity on a permanent molar. And a lot of these can be prevented with sealants that are very inexpensive to do. The cost of four sealants on the four permanent first molars is less than one filling could be. So it's better to obviously prevent decay than the removal of tooth structure due to a cavity one day. So that's one big thing. every child's different. Some kids are ready to brush on their own with an electric toothbrush at age six. Some, you know, if there's special health care needs or other medical reasons, they need more time. Their wrists are still developing and the manual dexterity isn't there, and they need parents to still be on top of them and brushing. So, and then as soon as the teeth contact, you got to floss. Parents tell me all the time when I show them the x-rays and there's cavities in between the teeth, but she brushes three or four times a day. How'd she get them? You can't fit the bristles in between the teeth. The brush bristles, the diameter of them is wider than the space between two teeth. So if the teeth are closed together and there's a tight contact, brushing all day isn't going to get anything out from in between the teeth. So you got to floss, use a mouthwash, and come in for a professional cleaning at least twice a year.
So, sugar, your best friend as a dentist, right? No. So kids are going to eat sugar. We don't want to deprive them of sugar. So what is your advice to parents on how can they balance this in to make sure they're having good oral health for their kids? What is your advice?
I mean, you're right. Kids are eating more sugar now than ever before. And it's not just sugar. It's also the refined carbs that you see in pretzels, chips, cookies, of course. One thing I tell parents, okay, let's try and balance out the sugars with more apples. Apples really help stimulate salivary flow and digestion. After apples, cheese. Cheese is one of the healthiest foods. I believe that the French have the lowest cavities rate of any country, and they finish almost all meals with a little piece of cheese, maybe a little piece of brie cheese. So finish your meals with cheese, especially white cheeses, because they're more basic foods and counteract more sugary and acidic foods. Like even acidic foods are harmful as well to the teeth. And then the last, more water. Try and rinse. I kind of swish around some water when I drink water, you know, kind of get rid of the food, clear it, and brush and floss afterwards. Definitely end the night by brushing and flossing, and start the day after breakfast brushing and flossing. Something else I recommend, brush, leave the toothpaste on the teeth and floss it in between the teeth and leave it. So many people think, oh, you got to rinse, get that toothpaste out and rinse with water 20 times. No, the paste is your friend. Leave it on the teeth. Let it sit. Let it do its job with that fluoride in there.
What's so important about shopping with locally owned businesses?
When you shop local, your hard-earned dollars stay here in the community, helping to benefit your friends and neighbors, local schools, roads, and all aspects of community life.
But what happens to my money if I spend it online or at a national chain store?
In most cases, the profits go far away, out of state, corporate headquarters, or even overseas.
It doesn't take any extra effort to shop local. OfficeMart on South Jefferson and Cookeville is your locally owned office furniture and supply store. For over 35 years, they've been proud to serve businesses in the Upper Cumberland with quality and value. You get real customer service too. And unlike shopping online, you can actually see and try out the large inventory of office furniture in their showroom. And when it's delivered, it's not a box on your step. They're glad to install and set up everything. OfficeMart. There's no other locally owned office store in the region. South Jefferson Avenue across from Hardee's. Shop local at OfficeMart.
Welcome back. You're listening to Local Matters on News Talk 94.1. I am your host, Hannah Davis, and with me is Dr. Landon Sears, pediatric dental specialist at Cavity Commando, and we are discussing children's health. And right now we're going to talk about common diagnoses you see, Dr. Sears, in children's dentistry. So maybe things like extra teeth. Do you see extra teeth a lot in kids? Is that something you're seeing?
Roughly 5 to 10% of the kids out there have extra teeth, and that's one of the big reasons why we recommend taking x-rays so that we can spot it at an early age. If you have what's called a mesiodens, a supernumerary teeth, in between the two front upper permanent teeth, you could cause a disturbance in the eruption of two of arguably the most important teeth, the upper central incisors.
Right.
If you spot that at age 5, you develop a plan. Maybe we get an oral surgeon involved to help remove it if it doesn't come out on its own. So, you know, that's why we need to see x-rays, because there's so much going on, and we can help prevent the damage and the disturbance in the alignment that they can cause.
I see friends, or my parents' friends, that have children whose teeth are
coming in early over there, but their teeth haven't fallen out. Their baby teeth haven't fallen out yet, but their permanent teeth are coming in. Is that something that's like extra teeth, or is that just like they're growing faster?
Well, there's so many different circumstances. One of the common things that I tell parents, because they see in the lower central area, they see the permanent incisors on the bottom coming in a little bit closer towards the tongue than the baby teeth, and they're afraid, oh, they're not going to push them out, oh, they have shark's teeth or something. Something key to remember. The arch pattern, meaning the alignment, the semicircle of the permanent teeth is different than the adult teeth.
Okay.
So you don't always have to extract baby teeth if there's a little bit of separation. The other thing, too, is you gain some space. The width of the baby molars is wider than the premolars that succeed them. So you gain a little bit of space sometimes. There's just so many different circumstances. I'm a little bit hesitant to comment because I don't want to think, oh, that's what's going on with my kid.
Every case is different.
Every case is different.
So let's talk a little bit about grinding of the teeth in the kid's age or in general. Talk a little bit about maybe what's causing grinding, what you can do to help grinding, advice for parents and that.
Grinding is a hot topic because there's so many different causes. And then one of the other underlying topics is oral sleep apnea syndrome, where kids have episodes of apnea throughout the night, and that leads to them being restless, easily distracted, ADHD, other long-term health complications. And one of the first ways you can notice oral sleep apnea syndrome is by looking at for grinding. Is the grinding caused by an airway issue? Are the tonsils locked together? It's too enlarged? Is the distance between the tongue, the floor of the mouth, and the roof of the mouth too narrow, so they're fighting for air and they're grinding, trying to create a passageway for air and oxygen, especially at night? Are they suffering from a GI disorder and regurgitating acid that, you know, is irritating them and sort of causing plateaus of the teeth and getting rid of the protective enamel layers and deeper into the dentin? Are there other reasons? Is there an abscess or an infection or cavities that are bothering them? There's so many different causes. So I always say, let's figure out what the source is. Another one's just simply anxiety.
Yeah.
Kids
which
nervous.
Which is a hot topic too, that kids and anxiety, and we're seeing a lot more of it. And so.
Yeah. So I think it's very important. Okay, let's not just make this kid a mouth guard and see you later. Let's figure out, why are they grinding?
So first steps, I mean, I would think, you know, if my daughter's grind, or even my son, they were grinding their teeth, the first step would be a dentist. I would say, okay, we need to go to the dentist and figure out what's going on. Because you think mouth guard, you do think that when they come and see a pediatric dentist, will you work those steps for parents or?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, having trained with so many pediatric physicians and the network of that we work with, even through the hospital as a staff pediatric dentist, okay, we know who we can send them there if it's GI related or if it's ENT. We also serve at the surgery center, and, you know, the Upper Cumberland ENT group sees a lot of the kids with airway disorders and need tonsils removed. Some of it can be related to the tongue and lip tie that we talked about earlier that can be prevented at an earlier age. So just so many different reasons for grinding that we can figure out. And then the other thing is this. So I've seen a couple cases, and it's really sad. The parent noticed the child was grinding, bought a mouth guard over the counter, just one like a boil and bite. And then the child comes into me. Oh, they're having pain everywhere. I take out the mouth guard, fold up the lips, pull back the cheeks. There's gashing wounds because the mouth guard did not fit correctly, and they're cutting into their cheeks and getting infections and pain. I've seen it happen. So before you jump to conclusion that it's a tooth-related reason, see a professional. See the dentist.
Yeah. And we're going to talk a little bit about what causes cavities and what options are out there for children if a cavity is found.
By the dentist or by the parent?
Hold on.
Sorry, I didn't understand.
You're listening to Local Matters on News Talk 94.1. We are here with Dr. Landon Sears, pediatric dental specialist at Cavity Commando, and we are discussing children's health, and we're going to talk about cavities. So what causes cavities?
like we talked about before, the big cause of cavities is the process of caries. Bacteria attracting to the teeth, feeding off the sugary foods that your children are eating, and refined carbohydrates such as in pretzels and chips and sodas and drinks. And then over time, the release of acid weakens the tooth, causing a cavitation. And then based on how deep that cavitation, how close to the nerve, the root canal, the pulp chamber structures is when it could become painful and sensitive and cause abscesses and severe infections. There's kids that we've had to admit to Cookeville Regional Medical Center because of severe abscesses that stretched. They started in the tooth and then eventually went through the apex, through the roots, out through the surrounding bone structure, up to the eyes, down to the neck. We've seen it several times, and we've had to admit kids for IV antibiotics and to be overseen. Yeah.
So if a cavity is found and they've come to the dentist and the cavity has been found, what are the options for them from the dental? Like, what are you going to say? These are your options for the cavity.
Well, there's so many different cases. Each one's unique again. So we look at the child's age. We look at their anxiety level. We look at the different treatment options, whether it's the use of what we call silver diamine fluoride, which is some medicine that is an interim caries arresting agent that is just some medicine that you could apply to the tooth. It does have some side effects such as black dark staining.
Yeah.
But then we have white fillings. We have stainless steel crowns. I offer all white crowns that a lot of parents love because, you know, they don't like the metal look. We have the ability so in office, we offer nitrous oxide minimal sedation, where it's just the happy gas and they watch a movie or something. Yeah. And I have different themes, like one is our space room and one's under the sea theme. And it's relaxing. And a lot of kids, probably most of the kids, can get through an appointment with that alone. But if the extent of cavities is so severe, I mean, we see kids with almost 20 cavities sometimes.
Wow.
We say, okay, do you want to take one day off of work where the child's asleep? Your child is already fearful. They don't even have to get numb. And then we take them to Cookeville Regional Medical Center and your anesthesia team or the surgery center, and the child's perfectly comfortable. We get all the work done in usually around an hour. The work is as good as it gets, the ideal conditions, because the child's not moving, not fearful.
You're not coming back 20 times for a feeling each time, right?
Exactly. And then the child isn't traumatized.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they didn't feel the injection. They didn't have a negative experience. They were asleep. The anesthesia agents, with the effect of the amnesia, that they don't remember the experience. I have kids that, you know, they were in for the first appointment, have been to several other dentists, were screaming and crying. We take them back. We take care of all their teeth. They're no longer in pain. They're happy with their smile. They come back to me hugging me next time.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about fear of the dentist. So this is really common. What's the phobia name, the official phobia name? Do you know?
I mean, I just say severe acute anxiety.
Yeah. So can you speak to parents on whose children are afraid of the dentist? What can they do to help them? Obviously not scare them, like we talked about earlier on the other episode. Don't be like, hey, we're going to get shots today, you know? What is out there to help them if they're scared?
The bottom line is to understand everyone has a fear of something. There's not a single person that I've ever met that isn't worried about something in their life. For a child who their minds and their intellect are developing as they grow, they have different fears at different stages. Let's say you have a child who just went a day before for vaccines, and then they come to our office for a cleaning. If they're 2 years old, they think they're about to get another vaccine.
So
every circumstance is different. I like to have the kids come in. I have other kids that I can kind of demonstrate, hey, this is all we're doing, just brushing. It's soft. It's gentle. We take our time with kids. For me, the most important thing for me is to build trust with the child and the parent.
Well, we're wrapping up, and so I have one more question. We've talked about when to start coming to the dentist, but how often should they visit coming? How often should they come to the dentist?
The sooner the better they should start coming. I recommend when the first tooth erupts or by age one at the latest to prevent major dental work. Tons of studies out there that shows a correlation. The sooner you bring them, the less dental work they'll need, and then twice a year minimum for a professional cleaning. Sometimes people need more.
Great. Thank you, thank you, thank you for being with us. From all of us here at News Talk 94.1, we thank you for listening in. And thank you, Dr. Landon Sears, for being with us and just educating listeners on children's dental health. This has been wonderful and so informative. This is Local Matters on News Talk 94.1. I am your host, Hannah Davis, and we will see you here next week.